Please stand by. Good day, and welcome to the Big East Men's Basketball Coaches Media Teleconference. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to John Paquette. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for another year of men's basketball teleconferences with our head coaches. We'll have our coaches on for approximately 8 minutes, as per usual. After an opening statement, you'll be able to ask questions. To ask questions, hit star one on your telephone, and then the operator will introduce you. And first up, as usual, we have Coach Greg McDermott of Creighton. The Blue Jays are 8-4 thus far. They play tonight, home game against UMKC, FS1, 8 o'clock Eastern on the telecast. Creighton, so far this season, leading the league in scoring, 84-8 per game, and most offensive shooting categories. Greg, thanks for joining us on the call. We especially appreciate it on a game day and hope you had a good Christmas. If you can maybe give us some general thoughts of your team's progress to date, then we'll open it up for questions.
Thanks, John, and happy holidays to everybody on the call. We're moving in the right direction. That's the important thing. We've played a challenging schedule, and unfortunately, really had five marquee games with a chance to really make some noise, with Ohio State, Clemson, Gonzaga, Nebraska, and Oklahoma, and unfortunately we only won one of them. And, offensively, I think we're probably ahead of where I thought we could be at this time. Our efficiency's been really good. Guys have shot the three and continued, like we have in the past. The basketball's moving, and for the most part, we're making the right decision, although we're probably turning it over a little bit more than we have in the past. And then defensively is the area where we have to improve, really across the board. We're not there yet, and I've seen some improvements along the way, but it's certainly something that if we expect to compete in league play, we're going to have to make some improvements in that area.
Questions for Coach Greg McDermott. Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
We'll take our first question from John Panta from Big East Digital Network.
Hey, Coach. Happy holidays.
Same to you, John.
What in particular do you think needs to happen defensively for this group to get better?
Well, one of our biggest issues, and I don't think I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, is, especially with Jacob Epperson out right now, and we'll figure out a little bit more on his status here over the course of the next few days. But, our rim protection isn't great. So that requires that our first line of defense be better. And we do a better job of keeping it out of the paint, so that the fact that we don't protect the rim, doesn't show up so much. So I think that's one. Our defensive rebounding percentage, we have been one of the better teams in the league, really, most of the 5 or 6 years we've been in the league. That has gone the wrong direction this year. So I'm hopeful that as Martin Krompel continues to get healthy, and there's been signs of him really getting back to form after being out with the ACL, that will help some of the rebounding problems and some of the rim protection problems. But other than that, we're relying on, Samson Froehlich and Christian Bishop, two true freshmen that are playing off the bench right now in Epperson's absence. And, when you're playing young guys, you're going to have some inconsistencies.
Right. To follow on that, it's known across the conference, whether it's coaches, players, outsiders, that the league is as wide open as it's been since reconfiguration. How much more of a magnitude does that put on your home games and the advantage that you have out in Omaha?
Well, I think anytime you're in league play, home protecting your home court is so important because it's so difficult to get wins on the road in this league because you have such great venues to play in, great fan bases to play in front of, and I think this year in particular, teams that if you look at the improvement, if you go back and watch some of the games prior to Thanksgiving, that first 10 days of the season, and watch those same teams today, there's a significant improvement across the board in the way our teams are playing across the league. And I don't think that should be surprising, as many young players as we have in the conference this year. But obviously we've got some teams playing at a high level right now. And some new guys that are fitting in nicely. So, you know, we have to figure out a way to protect our home floor. Unfortunately, for four out of our first six, we're going on the road. So, you know, we've got a tough start to our conference season, but we have to figure out a way to take care of our home court.
Can we move on to the next question, please?
That'll come from David Woods with Indianapolis Star.
Yes, good morning, Coach. I know you don't play him for a little more than a week, but have you had a chance to see any tape on Butler, and if there's anything that strikes you about the way they played so far?
You know, David, I haven't watched 1 second of them. I guess I did see 1 second. I saw the last play of the Indiana game, which made me sick when they threw that shot in against them. But, you know, just looking at the numbers and looking at some of the conference statistics over the course of the last week, obviously defensively they're playing outstanding. And, you know, so that's going to be an issue for us when we come in there. And Baldwin's playing at a high level. I think he's one of the more efficient players in our league. I've always loved his game and his ability to score at three different levels. So I haven't watched much of him yet. We've got a lot of water to go under the bridge before that one.
Hey, thanks for answering as much as you did. I appreciate it.
You bet, David.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Kevin McNamara from Providence Journal.
Morning, Greg.
Hi, Kevin.
Things. Just a little happy holidays to you. Two things. First of all, Crample, I've seen you guys enough to know that he's certainly moving well and looks good and has had some good games for you. If you can just go a little deeper into him and how he is progressing, and then just what do you like about Providence so far?
Well, you know, I think with Martin, and I think people forget, this is his third ACL. So I think the mental part of getting back on the floor and feeling comfortable is probably even more difficult than the physical part. You know, just feeling comfortable in traffic, being able to jump, being able to do the things with bodies around. When in your mind, that's, you know, you've come down and you've torn that ACL three times. So that's been part of the issue, and I think it's really impacted him in the rebounding area, especially in the last two or three games. I'm starting to see signs of what we saw last year. So hopefully, you know, those days are behind him, and, you know, it hasn't been a year yet. We're at 11 months or so, you know, since the surgery, 10 and a half months. And it takes time. So he's moving the right direction. We're excited about where he's going, and hopefully he can finish off strong. And, with Providence, I've been really impressed. You know, that win at Texas is really, really good win, because Texas has a good roster, and obviously they had a couple wins early. That game at Boston College was crazy the way that ended. But, you know, Alpha's playing outstanding, and, you know, I think he's one of the best players in our league when you consider, you know, what he does in the paint. Now he's shooting the three-point shot much better than he did a year ago. He gets to the foul line. You know, he leads the team in assists, so, you know, there really isn't anything that he's not doing. And he's a physical, hard-nosed, tough defensive player. So he's got it all, and it's been fun to watch his development. Just hard. He's a hard guy to play against because he does so much.
Great. Thank you. Good luck tonight.
You bet, Kevin. Thank you.
Greg, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck in your game tonight, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks. Again, that's Creighton. They play tonight at home against UMKC. That's on FS1 at 8 o'clock Eastern. Next up, we have Providence and Coach Ed Cooley. The Friars so far this year are 10-3 on the season, and they do open league play on the 31st, which is Monday, against the Creighton Blue Jays. And we have Coach Ed Cooley on the line. Ed, thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas to you. If you could give us maybe some general thoughts of the team's progress to date going into league season, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Thanks a lot, and happy holidays to you, John. I appreciate you having us on. You know, our team is, I think we're improving. I think we're getting our legs underneath us with respect to what we have to do to compete. You know, with the loss of AJ, we had to kind of readjust our lineup a little bit. But I think all the guys are doing a great job. You know, we have a lot of versatile players we could kind of put in a lot of different places, so that's been fun to coach. The guys have been great to be around, and we're really looking excited. We're really looking forward to an exciting start of the season. We're fortunate, different than what Coach McDermott is going through. We have three of our first four at home, I believe. So, you know, in all these leagues, you've got to take care of home court. So it's a big, big emphasis on that.
Questions for Coach Ed Cooley. Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
First question will come from John Natala from the Omaha World Herald.
Good morning, Ed. You guys have one of the more inexperienced rosters in the country, really. I'm wondering, from your perspective, where does that inexperience show up the most when you're watching games play out or reviewing it in film or watching them practice?
Well, I think little things, you know, just running to the ball, running through the ball, missed assignments defensively on personnel. You know, these guys are being fed through a fire hydrant with you know, terminology, and sometimes they don't remember. And it seems like it always shows up in a critical part of the game. But overall, we have some inexperience, but guys like, you know, like Isaiah Jackson, Khalif Young, you know, Alpha Diallo, they all have been in a lot of games, you know, being juniors, and Isaiah being a fifth-year senior. There is some experience there, so they're able to help the younger guys. But, you know, they're getting a lot of game experience, a ton of game experience, and hopefully that pays dividends for us as we get deeper into the league play.
And just real quickly, lastly for me, your perspective on Creighton, how much have you gotten to see them play another team that's pretty inexperienced, but I would imagine you see them as it's going to be a competitive game in a week.
Yeah, very competitive game. I mean, I always respect Coach McDermott's teams. They're always well-coached. Can really score. Alexander, to me, is one of the most improved players in the country. You know, you had a Jefferson into the mix with some, you know, with Ballack. Zigorowski has played great this year for them, shooting the ball at a great level, you know, almost shooting 50, you know, over 50% from three. They're a tough matchup. They're a tough matchup because they have a lot of weapons offensively. I've really enjoyed watching that group grow, in particular Alexander, who I think is one of the better guards in our league. So we got our hands full. Hopefully we can compete at an elite level to try to get us a home win.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Joe Giuliano from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joe.
I just was wondering, I know you have a plenty to look at with your own team, but if you've had a chance to see much of the other teams in the Big East and with conference play about to start, what are your thoughts about this being perhaps one of the more wide-open seasons in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I follow our league every night, always looking to see, you know, how our guys are doing. I'm a big fan of the Big East and love watching our guys coach and watch kids play. I've had a chance to probably kind of have my eye on just about every team, probably other than Butler. You know, I've watched Villanova, I've watched Marquette, obviously Creighton, DePaul. Again, the league lost a lot of veteran players. And when you lose that many players across the board, there is going to be a dip, with experience. You know, everybody says the league is wide open. Who knows if it's wide open? Those are all just opinions. You know, the teams that have great chemistry, great team spirit, and a no-nonsense, relentless approach to the game are going to give themselves a chance to win night in and night out, regardless of what year it is. All these league games are tough as hell, and everybody's hands are full this year.
And I'm thinking, I was just wondering, I was thinking that probably your preparation for the Michigan game earlier this season came from watching some tape of that Villanova game where Villanova didn't play quite the style of basketball that we're used to seeing. Have you seen much of them since then and how they've developed their team?
I have. I've watched Villanova a lot. You know, I mean, they're on television a lot. They get a lot of exposure, which they have earned and deserve. You know, you lose four, you know, you lose four draft picks. You're going to go through a transition. And they played Michigan relatively early. By the way, I think Michigan is one of the best teams in the league. We also played against them defensively. They're very, very solid. But you have a high-level game like that, that early in the season, you know, that, you know, and they made a lot of shots. We're all going to have stinkers throughout the year. There are going to be days where the ball just doesn't go in the basket and we can't guard anybody. So, you know, you don't let the one game demoralize you. But they're a totally different team now than they were when they played the Michigan team with respect to other guys getting on the floor, getting more confident.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Well, good on. We'll take our next question from Kevin McNamara from Providence Journal.
Yes, Ed, just follow up on what you said earlier about your younger players. Where do you think David Duke stands heading into the Big East? He's certainly had some good games. He's had some games where he gets into foul trouble, played like a young player. Where do you think he stands, you know, with conference play now here?
I think he has a lot more, Kevin. I think he has a lot more confidence. This is the first time we're playing a true freshman point guard with the ball without it having a secondary ball handler on the floor. When we had Bryce Cotton, we had Vincent Council, and we had Chris, we had Bryce, and when we had Kyron, we had Chris. So those guys have had a chance to be on the floor with another guard that had a ton of experience. And what David's going through right now is, you know, Makai has definitely improved the last couple of games, and, you know, trying to have them in practice playing off of one another is helping David. But at the same time, he's going to have some inconsistent moments on just being developed. I like what he's doing right now. We got to cut down on a couple of his mistakes, especially the fouling, and being able to, you know, get us into our offense a lot quicker. But overall, I'm happy with his development. I think he's going to be a great player in our league, and we're excited to have him.
And can you give an A.J. Reeves update? How's his foot doing?
Well, he's being evaluated again tomorrow. We have, you know, he hasn't had any pressure on it for the last couple of weeks. He's been in a boot, and he's had, you know, his little scooter and crutches. I think he's getting there. He said it's not as sore. So, you know, he's going to be somebody we're really looking forward to getting back, because he's an unbelievable weapon when he's on the floor. And, you know, as we get more medical reports, I'll definitely keep you abreast to it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from David Woods, Indianapolis Star.
Yes, good morning, Coach. I was wondering how the Pan-American Games team is going to be selected, if there's going to be any kind of a camp, or if you and a committee are just going to choose the 12 players.
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And, you know, Val and I and everybody in the Big East office, we haven't set all of that up yet. You know, we have teams that are going to be traveling overseas. I'm pretty sure I'll be part of that selection process. But, you know, we're in the infant stages of that, this being the first year that a conference is going to represent those games. There's a lot of things that have to be answered, and I just don't have the answers to them right now. But I do know we will put a very competitive team together. We'll have some great young men that go over there with that great experience. Excited to do it, but at the same time, there's still a lot of answers. A lot of questions have to be answered.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take one more question for Ed Cooley.
We'll take our final question then from Sean Brennan from BigEast.com.
Hi, morning, Ed.
Morning, Sean.
You said you saw a lot of the teams and stuff like Villanova and a lot on TV, but I was wondering, is there a program or two that has surprised you by what they've done so far this year?
Surprised? No. Winning, I'm so happy for them. St. John's being one. I mean, I think Marquette is maybe one of the more underrated teams in the country. Defensively, I think they've really improved. They've always been a great offensive team. I like the development of DePaul. I've watched them a couple of different times, what Coach Leto is doing there. Surprised, not really. But, you know, those teams that played all those younger kids early in their career, you know, those teams are really making a big move right now. And those three teams in particular have stood out to me the most in our league. Georgetown in there as well. You know, they're playing all those freshmen early now. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun time in our league, and I'm excited to see everybody continue to grow and make our league exciting once again.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Ed, We have to move on. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. See you soon.
Again, that's Providence, and they start league play at home on Monday the 31st against Creighton. Now we're moving on to DePaul and Coach Dave Leto. The Blue Demons start conference play this Saturday at home against Xavier on FS1 at 2 p.m. Eastern. So far, the Blue Demons are 8-3 on the season. We have Coach Dave Leto on the line. Coach Dave, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays. If you could maybe just give some general thoughts of your team heading into conference play, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yes, thank you very much for having me, and happy holidays to everybody out there. As one of 10 members of this conference, I think I can speak for our program and myself, but more importantly for the other 9 coaches and programs, that this becomes the most exciting time of the year as we get ready for conference play, and particularly, you know, this year, because as prognosticators have said, you know, all along, with a lot of the departures of seniors and early entries into the draft and that kind of thing, that the league would be down. And, you know, from the number of people in the top 25, you could probably say that might have some validity. But that most importantly, I think, if you look at this league right now, today, going into conference play, it is as competitive as any time or anybody, and that's because from 1 to 10, I don't know that any one of the 10 coaches can figure out where their easy day is going to be, and so, you know, we're in that boat and understanding that beginning on Saturday with Xavier, it becomes a very, very difficult and tough task to win against a team that one is off to a pretty good start. Two has some veterans that are leading them, and 3 has a pedigree of winning that can't be denied. And so, as we look forward to Saturday's game, particularly because that were our last Big East opponent before the conference tournament last year, and they won the conference championship outright on our court. So, understanding what that means, you know, relative to this year is really important as we move forward.
Questions for Coach Dave Leto. Hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
I think our first question is from John Fanta from Big East Digital Network.
Coach, we know what Max Strus and Eli Kane can do for your group. Who else or what else do you need to see for your team to continue to evolve?
Well, I think one of the things that we've tried very hard to establish, and there are times we've done it really, really well, and there are times that we're still in the learning process, is to get other people involved with some regularity by sharing the basketball. The first name that comes to mind is Femi Olusegun, because he's a talented scorer. He's you know, making probably almost 70% of his shots, and getting him involved as a third or fourth scorer consistently is something that we've tried to do. Obviously, you know, we've set it up where Jalen Coleman Lance would be as part of that mix, and without him in the lineup right now, we've asked guys to be better at what they do. But a guy like Femi, as well as some other guys that have played pretty consistent minutes, Devin and Paul Reed come to mind, as guys that can be options for us. And so Max continues to be somebody who creates a lot of attention from our opponents, but the more that we get everybody else involved and have, you know, multiple guys scoring, and right now we have almost 5 guys averaging double figures, that we can be more balanced than we've ever been.
To follow up on that, there's obviously emerging talent in the conference, you know, with Shamari Pons at St. John's, Marcus Howard at Marquette, but I'm just curious to know where you think Max Strus kind of fits in the hierarchy, and what stands out to you about the way that he's put together his season that maybe differentiates it from a year ago?
Well, in asking that question, you're probably asking me to be a little bit unbiased, which is very difficult for any coach to do about a guy that they spend every day with. And so, you know, the things that I see from Max are twofold. One, that he's extremely talented. in the years that I've been in this business, the guy, you know, that ball comes off his hand is as comfortable as anybody I've ever been around. His work ethic and the diversification of his game, where he's not just a shooter, he's an athlete, he's an energy guy, he defends, he's our leading rebounder. So he does a lot for us in comparison. I just watch Shamari or Marcus, and I marvel at their offensive ability, you know, both from a skill standpoint and by virtue of the position that they play. You know, so, yeah, I'm going to say that Max Strus, and I thought this all along, especially when he was voted as a second team All-Big East player, I thought he was better than that, but the proof is in the pudding, and so we'll determine that at the end of the year. But I think he's right up there with the best players in this league. And we just have to go out and be able to perform like that every night.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Joe Giuliano from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Good morning, Dave. My question was going to start a lot like John's question. We already know about Strus and Kane, but I was wondering of the other guys. So what one or two players have developed a little more quickly so far and have maybe contributed a little more than you might have anticipated at this point?
Well, you know, in our team, we talk about it day to day, like almost everybody, I'm sure, does, and everybody's got a role to fill. And I think with roles, scoring becomes one of the things that we've asked more guys to do than they've done in the past. So, as I mentioned, you know, besides, as you mentioned, with Max and Eli, Femi is a name that comes to mind. And you know, but one day when it's not Femi, it can certainly be Paul Reed. When it's not Paul Reed, it can certainly be Devin Gage. And when it's not, you know, it's Eli. And so we have the potential to have, you know, 4 to 6 guys that can get double figures for us every night. But what I try not to focus on is that so much and how we run our offense and who touches the ball and when they touch it and where they touch it. Because if we can do that every day and make the right play, then wherever the ball lands up, I mean, who's supposed to take that shot is by percentage is going to make it more if we're running good offense and sharing the basketball. So I think, you know, as Big East play starts, you're going to face 18 games where each one of those will be a challenge to make that happen over the course of 40 minutes. And that's where the consistency of effort comes in. And so guys like Femi or Devin or Paul become really, really big in that understanding.
Thank you.
We'll take one final question for Coach Dave Leto.
Take our final question from John Yatwa from the Omaha World Herald.
Hey, Dave, just kind of looking at your guys' numbers, it seems that you've made some improvements as a rebounding team, especially on the defensive end. And, just kind of wondering what you think has led to that philosophy change or just the guys dedicated more to it. What have you seen in terms of your improvements on the glass?
Yeah, so ironically, we've had that discussion this morning, and I think we're a good rebounding team. And we were, you know, with the trials and tribulations we had last year, we still ended up being a decent rebounding team ourselves. But, you know, I think it's if you ask me what you're asking me, I still think that we're underachieving in that department, that we can be a whole lot better in both our percentage of rebounds and offense and defense and the amount that we get. And so I'm going to continue to ask our guys to do more. But, you know, we have some natural rebounders. I think Jalen Butts is a great natural rebounder on both ends. Paul Reed is a great natural rebounder on both ends. Max Strus is our leading rebounder. He plays both 3 and sometimes 4 from us. So when you have multiple people that like to pursue the basketball, then, you know, whatever you do in practice that emphasizes, and it kind of hopefully will take advantage of their pursuit. We've got to make sure that it's a mindset from everybody. You know, all 5 guys are on the court at the same time and in practice, you know, whatever drill we're in, whether it's an offense or a defensive, that there should be a rebound and emphasis to it. And I think, you know, one of the things that we need to do a little bit better is pay more attention to the details, something that we're good at and can be a whole lot better at.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dave, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Again, that's DePaul against Xavier on Saturday to open up their conference seasons. Next up, we have Laval Jordan from Butler. Butler so far this year, or they're getting ready to play at Florida on Saturday for a second time this season already. And Butler so far 9-3 on the season. We have Coach Laval Jordan on the line. Coach, thanks for joining us on the call. If you could maybe give a thought on playing Florida again, and then maybe your team's progress to date, how you see that coming along.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Obviously, it's a unique circumstance to be playing a non-conference opponent twice in the same season. But I thought last night our guys returned from their break. We had about 4 days coming out of the UC Irvine game, and we're starting to the Florida prep today and head out tomorrow to get down there. And, just adding a couple pieces to the mix, Jordan Tucker and Bryce Golden, just trying to integrate those guys into a lineup where I think we've kind of learned some lessons on the road at St. Louis and the Indiana game and against Dayton. And I like how our guys have responded and made adjustments. And now just striving for, like everybody is, just striving for some consistency.
Questions for Coach Laval Jordan? *1 on your telephone, please. Operator will introduce you.
Take our first question from David Woods from Indianapolis Star.
Yes, happy New Year, Laval. I was just wondering how you would assess your overall non-league schedule. If you'd be pretty content by the strength of schedule you had, or if it was kind of what you'd hoped for when you had this planned out.
Yeah, I've been very content with it. I think, putting it's one of the hardest things to do is, putting together a schedule and getting people to play. I think, the Ole Miss and Florida series are great for us. We obviously beat Ole Miss here and head to Florida, and then we'll return those games next season. The Battle for Atlantis is always a good event, and it tested us with the Dayton in Middle Tennessee and Florida. And playing on the road at St. Louis, which is a very good team. I got a win in our league at Seton Hall, and they've been had a really good competitive non-conference slate. And even, Indiana, UC Irvine, both, top 100 level opponents. And so I've been pleased, just with the level of play that we've had against really good competition. Now trying to integrate, I think the Florida game, we kind of put on purpose UC Irvine to play a couple of really good programs with, some new faces in the lineup before we get the Big East play, so that they could just feel, that level, and not having Georgetown be the first time that Jordan and Bryce jump out there. So, yes, been pleased with it so far.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from John Neotawa from the Omaha World Herald.
Yeah, Coach, I was just kind of wondering, how did you go about integrating Jordan Tucker into the rotation? I mean, did he start the year on the scout team, or did he play with the guys? Like, how did you sort of get him ready to be able to play at the semester break?
Yeah, that's a unique thing for the semester transfer. Jordan was with the second unit and scout team early on in practices, like everybody. We don't have a set group. You're just competing and you're rotating guys around and everybody's playing with everybody and guys have to earn their positions. And then once, we kind of had established, seven, that were playing more minutes and Jordan was on the scout team with the other guys, Christian David, Gerald Butler. We would rotate guys in and who was going to be that eighth guy, just to get guys reps with, kind of with the seven guys that were playing the most. And so he's been a part of that integration as well. But I think over the course of, they're here so much with open gym, so they know over the summer and in the fall, they've got a good feel for each other's game and strengths and weaknesses. Now it's just being able to execute now on that kind of first unit or top eight, being able to execute and put each other in positions of strength.
What do you think is sort of maybe the biggest challenge for him to sort of step in and I mean, I guess, is it finding a role or just knowing, hey, this is where I fit for this team?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a role. You know, Jordan's naturally, he's got a natural ability to score. He can really pass, you know, so offensively. And our guys share the basketball, and they play together, and they're really connected, as connected as any group I've seen. Defensively is, you know, where you need to continue to keep a strong connection. And so that's the part where he hadn't had as many reps. He or Bryce, you know, with that group, you know, with Kamar and Aaron and Nate Fowler and Paul, the guys that have been out there, and you know, they can cover for each other. Not that it's always perfect, but there's a communication and coverage that happens just, you know, from being out there together for so long. And so those things are, you know, just our principles, and then that connection defensively is where he's got to make up a lot of ground.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Laval, thanks for your time. We have to move on. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now we are moving on to Chris Mullen from St. John's. St. John's is 12-0, and going into Saturday's game, which is their league opener at Seton Hall, we have Coach Chris Mullen on the line. Chris, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays. If you want to give us maybe some general thoughts of your team getting ready to enter conference play, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yeah, we're ready to go. Look forward to stop Big East play. We're excited about that. I'll really just take questions if that's okay.
Sure. First question, please.
We'll take our first question from Jerry Carino from Gannett, New Jersey.
Good morning, Chris. I want to ask you about Miles Powell. What do you think of him as a player, and what makes him so effective?
Yeah, great score. Seems to make contested shots look easy. I know he's a kid that really worked on his fitness and conditioning. Yeah, he's leading scoring. He can really get it going. Big time shooter. Plays well without the ball. He's a heck of a player.
Thanks.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Hey, Chris, happy holidays. You guys have eight transfers on the roster. Chris, can you just talk a little bit about what made you kind of embrace the philosophy of taking transfers, and how much did Matt have to do with that?
I think statistically those numbers are way up. I don't know when those numbers jump, but historically at St. John's, we've always had, you know, especially going way back, guys that left, you know, left town, and when they're unhappy now, you know, we've always had guys come back. So it's not so much a new trend at St. John's, but I just think statistically those numbers are way up for whatever reason that is. I'm comfortable with that. And, yeah, Matt's done a great job in all areas. You know, we recruit across the board, and unlike the NBA draft, you don't get to select people, they select you, so you recruit what you can, and then obviously with the guys you wind up getting on your roster, you work with them.
What do you think the transfers bring, Chris, that, you know, maybe guys straight out of high school are obviously a little younger and don't bring as much of?
Yeah, there's a maturity level physically. In our case, we've had guys that have come from, you know, great programs and have been coached by some great coaches. That's always an advantage, I believe. And then, you know, from a personal standpoint, I think they're a little bit more locked in, a little more open-minded. You know, whether it's a mistake or a wrong fit, they're a little bit more accountable for themselves. So all those things are good.
Yeah, thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Zachary Braziller from New York Post.
Happy holidays, Chris.
Exactly.
What what's the latest with CD? Is he practicing with the team yet? Where is he right now?
He's not practicing, and right now I believe he should be in Queens, New York.
It's kind of taking it game by game here. You wouldn't rule him out yet for Saturday?
Yeah, he hasn't practiced with us yet. But he's progressing well. I'll be heading over there a little bit, get the update from the doctors, and go from there.
Moving on, we'll take a next question from Roger Rubin from Newsday.
Hey, Chris. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, Roger.
I wanted to just touch base with you because we haven't seen you in 3 or 4 days. Do you imagine that Greg Williams Jr. is going to be looking at a more enhanced role as conference play begins? And in your mind, how much would you optimally like to be playing him in a game?
Well, first off, depending on game situation will dictate a lot of that, whether it be, fouls, matchups, and things like that. But I think he's come along fine. He's done a really good job. I got confidence in him. Offensively, he has a nice feel. He can knock down a shot. He's got a good feel when, playoff closeouts and make pretty good decisions. Defensively is the one thing he's really kind of, working on and getting better at. But, I'm confident in him that he'll play a good role for us.
Chris, in order for you guys to be successful in this first Big East game, what aspect of your game do you think needs to take a step forward?
Well, defense is always a big focus of ours. We've got good scorers. So for the most part, little tweaks here and there offensively, but overall we're usually pretty good offensively. So defense is always a big concern of ours, a big focus. And first and foremost starts with transition defense. And then, especially in conference play now, really locking down on individual players and what we need to do to control certain players on a given night.
Last thing I was going to ask is, I know that you have an approach where you want the team to be the same every time and be consistent and have the approach be exactly the same for every game. But with the Big East slate starting here, have you noticed anything different in them in terms of intensity or enthusiasm during the practices?
We worked out last night. Can't say I did see that. I thought they were good. We'll have a full practice day. Last time we just did a little bit of a workout. Say we'll start practicing and prepping for Seton Hall. Everyone's excited about the conference play. There's obviously an intensity and more focus on game plan and personnel. But there's also 18 games, so the reason we try and prepare similarly, not exactly the same every day, but a very similar way, is to make sure you come and play the same every day with the same intensity. And I think that automatically picks up when conference play arrives, but it doesn't really affect our approach.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Charles Gardner from The Atlantic.
Yeah, hey, Chris. Just wondering what your take on the conference race is. I know you have two tough games coming up right at the start, and you're 12-0. Just what do you see? Is it going to be a wide-open conference the way the people are saying? And what do you think your chances are? Are you getting enough respect at 12-0?
I think the conference is going to be as tough as ever. maybe a little bit different. Obviously, a lot of players, veteran players left the NBA and graduation and whatnot. But I think it's going to be tough top to bottom. Every night's going to be a very intense, competitive game. And you have to bring your A game each and every night. So far, I'm not quite sure. I don't know if I call it wide open. I think it's going to be very, very competitive each and every night.
Yeah. And just one follow, if I can, you said about some individual players, Chris. Is Marcus Howard one of those individual players you really have to game plan for?
No question. Every night, so we got them coming, but we'll wait on that one to, prepare for Seton Hall. But obviously, each team has incredible guard. They got shooters and then things like that. So, he's one of the top scorers in the country.
Okay, thanks.
Chris, we have to move on. Happy holidays, and we'll see you on Saturday. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Now we are moving on to Coach Kevin Willard of Seton Hall, the team on the other side of the Saturday's matchup. So far, the Pirates are 9-3 going into Saturday's game. We have Coach Kevin Willard on the line. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the call. If you could maybe give us a comment on your team's progress going into conference play, and then we'll open it up for questions.
I've been really pleased with the progression we've made from the beginning of the season to where we are now. We still obviously have a lot of work to do and a lot of improvements in a lot of areas, but for taking over for such a young group to kind of really buy into what we're trying to do, play a pretty good schedule and be at 9-3, I'm really pleased with their attitude. I'm really pleased with their work ethic.
Questions for Coach Kevin Willard? Hit *1 on your telephone.
Take our first question from Jerry Carino from Gannett, New Jersey.
Morning, Kevin.
Hey, Jer.
So what are your thoughts on Shamori Ponds as a player, and what in particular makes him so effective?
Well, man, I don't think we have enough time for that, Jer. what I love about how Shamori's playing this year is he is playing with such poise and confidence, and he's really playing the game at a NBA level, which I mean is he's not forcing shots. He's getting everybody involved. He's playing a pace that's when he needs to attack, he can attack anybody in the country. I just think he right now is by far one of the elite players in college basketball.
But one more for you. And that is, aside from Shamori and Miles, which a lot of people will focus on, what are the other one or two biggest things that you think will determine the outcome of this game?
I think the biggest thing for us is trying to figure out who's going to guard who, because one of the most impressive things about this St. John's team is I just don't think they have a weakness offensively. 1-5 on the court. Chris has done a great job of putting guys in mismatches and attacking guys off mismatches. They're shooting the basketball tremendously. Everybody is. And it's really hard. I just think even when at sometimes you think you have them locked down, they have five guys on the floor that could score at any time. And I love the fact that they're playing extremely unselfishly. And, it obviously all starts with Shamari, but, when you have Mustafa Heron out there, Marvin Clark, really been impressed with what Justin Simon has been doing. And I think probably the biggest key going forward for their team has been LJ Figueroa. I mean, he just adds another score, some length, some toughness, and really causes some matchup problems.
Thanks, Kevin.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Zachary Brazilla from the New York Post.
Happy holidays, Kevin. How are you?
Good, Zachary. How are you?
Okay. Kevin, what do you think this matchup between, Ponds and Powell might not necessarily guard each other. You got two kids who arguably the two best players in the league. They're good friends. They're both off to great starts. It should be fun just kind of watching them work against each other. What are your thoughts on kind of on these two guys going up against each other?
I think, you know, why, now I've really studied them, and obviously watching us, you know, I think Shamari and Miles are two of the elite level players right now, not only in this conference, but in all of college basketball. And I think it's going to be a real treat seeing those two on the floor battling each other, just because, you know, Shamari's assist turnover ratio is so impressive. His shooting percentages are so impressive. I think what he does for them, you know, getting everybody involved and controlling the game is very similar to what Miles does for us. And Miles not only scoring the ball at a great rate, but he's really getting it. A lot of guys involved and getting guys in the right spots offensively. So I think you're looking at two of the elite level players in college basketball going up against each other Saturday night.
Do you worry at all about, you know, Powell trying to take too much on and match Shamari, because, you know, it's kind of a friendly rivalry and there's going to be a lot made of this matchup between the, you know, two of the best players in the league.
I would have last year, Zach. I would have last year when he was a sophomore. But he's really, as this season progressed, he's really evolved and understood his role and understands, you know, every night, you know, he's gone up against a pretty good player. I mean, we've played a really good schedule with a lot of good players. Now, none of them has as elite as Shamari, and none of them has the connection. But he's matured to the point where he understands it's not about just him and Shamari. It's about a team game.
So you think Shamari is better than anyone on Kentucky?
I think Shamari Pons is the second best player in college basketball.
After Zion?
After Miles Powell.
Zach, I'm sorry. We got to move on to the next question. I'm sorry. We got a lot in the queue.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Kev, happy holidays. I'm going to rescue you from Zach.
Thanks. He's texting me right now, so it's all right.
he's going to ask you about Zion. You mentioned the St. John's guys. I mean, obviously they've embraced transfers. They have 8 transfers on the roster. How does that make them difficult as an opponent? You know, that obviously they're older and more experienced with so many transfers.
Yeah, man. I think they've done a really good job of putting together, you know, a roster that complements each other. And the fact that, you know, Marvin Clark and Justin Simon are guys who played at really good programs before and now have gone to play for another good program. I think it's the reason why they're 12-0 and their shooting percentages are off the charts and they're as good as they are. I mean, I think in college basketball, there's no one way to do it. And, you know, you look at Chris and his staff, I think they've done an excellent job of going after guys that play their style, who have Chris's toughness when he played, and they all complement each other extremely well.
Good stuff. Thanks, buddy.
No problem, Ed.
One final question for Coach Kevin Willard.
That'll come from Roger Rubin from Newsday.
Hey, Kevin. Happy holidays.
Hey, Roger. Happy holidays.
Kevin, right now for the Big East, you know, there's Marquette's ranked, and there's a whole bunch of teams that are on the outside of the national rankings and sort of knocking on the door. But an undefeated Big East team isn't ranked. Do you think that these circumstances indicate a sort of national perception that the Big East isn't what it has been the last few years? And if so, do you think that that's wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Raj, I think, you know, the league definitely isn't as strong as it was last year by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's still a top four league, but over the last couple of years, because of the seniors that we've had, the players we've had, you know, you had 4 or 5 teams that were undefeated, or maybe, you know, we had 7 teams with maybe only 1 loss going into this year, you know, so, the league is still as strong top to bottom. But it's definitely, I mean, I think everybody would say it's not nearly as tough it was last year with all the seniors that the league had.
Kevin, we appreciate the time. We have to move on.
Thanks, guys.
Happy holidays. Thanks. Now we are moving on to Coach Steve Wojciechowski of Marquette. Marquette is 10-2. They're playing tomorrow against Southern before they jump into league play at St. John's. Coach Steve Wojciechowski on the line. Coach, happy holidays to you. If you could maybe give us a general thought of your team's progress to date, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Happy holidays, everyone. Obviously, our guys just got back from the Christmas break and are looking forward to the challenge of Southern and the start of Big East season. To this point, I think our team has done a good job. I think we've gotten a lot better since the beginning of the season. We've challenged ourselves with a different, difficult non-conference, and I like the potential of this group. I think we've played well at times, but there's certainly areas we can continue to get better in.
Questions for Coach Steve Wojciechowski. Hit star one on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
Take our first question from Ben Steele from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Hey, Coach. I hope you and the family had a Merry Christmas, all that good stuff.
Thanks, Ben. You too.
You said you put together the non-conference schedule to kind of get an accurate reading of where your team was heading into the Big East. And I'm wondering if anything about what has surprised you the most about your team, and also what specifically do you think you guys need to improve on as the conference season gets started?
Yeah, I think to this point we've been a really good home team, and I've been pleased with the improvements that we've made defensively. Obviously, that's been a point of emphasis, and our guys have responded to that collectively, so we're pleased. You know, offensively, we're still a work in progress in terms of taking care of the ball and making sure the ball finds the best shot each time down the floor. But, you know, I think we got out of the non-conference, and obviously we have Southern coming up completing that to this point, what we've wanted.
I'm sorry, Coach, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I'm sorry. We'll move on to the next question then.
We'll go next to Joe Giuliano from Philadelphia Inquirer.
Good morning, Steve. I just wondered, in the non-conference schedule that you played, you had four top 50 wins and a lot of success there. I just wondered, do you feel like you guys we okay?
Yeah, yep, I can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. The four top 50 wins in the non-conference, I was just wondering if, first of all, you feel that you might have a target on your back considering your success in the non-conference?
We don't try to look at it like that. I mean, we want to focus on ourselves and getting better each day. Our conference is as competitive as ever. And I think it's shown through the success the league has had in the non-conference. And it's a league where you really got to take things one game at a time. And, this is a league where everybody gets everyone else's best shot. That's what makes it so competitive and so fun to play in. And I think our guys are in a good space right now. They understand that we have to get a lot better. And with the Big East Conference in front of us, our biggest challenges are yet to come.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from John Stepp from Marquette Wire.
Hey, Coach. First of all, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
So speaking of those challenges, one of those coming up, Shamori Ponds with St. John's, what makes him so hard to game plan against?
Well, he's an elite level guard, one of the top guards in the United States. Really, he's a tremendous scorer. He puts great pressure on the defense with his ability to break you down off the dribble, his ability to shoot from behind the three-point line, and in watching them, I haven't been able to watch a ton, but I think his decision-making has continued to improve. And if you look at his assist-to-turnover ratio, at this point in the season, he's close to 4-1 assist-to-turnovers, which is a big-time number. And so It's not just his scoring that scares you. It's his ability to make the players around him better as well. So he's an elite level guard.
Okay, thanks.
Coach, we have to move on. We appreciate your time as always. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Now we're moving on to Georgetown and Coach Patrick Ewing. The Hoyas right now are 9-3. They have one more game on Saturday against Howard before they jump into league play. We have Coach Patrick Ewing on the line. And, Coach, thanks for joining us on the call. Happy holidays. If you could give us maybe a general thought or two of your team's progress to date, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Okay. Happy holidays. I think my team, we're still growing. We're still trying to learn each other. You know, we start two freshmen at the guard position, and they're still learning the difference between college and high school. So we're still evolving, still learning, still trying to get better. And the Big East is right here, is right now. So we have to continue to grow and to continue to learn going into league play.
Let's go to questions for Coach Patrick Ewing.
We'll take our first question from David Woods from Indianapolis Star.
Yes, happy holidays, Coach. I was wondering, if you play Butler in less than a week. Have you had a chance to watch them on film at all? And can you, compare or contrast to what they were this year as opposed to what they were last year, and how Jordan Tucker might be influencing their team?
I have not really watched them. I try to take it a game by game. I don't try to look ahead. So I really haven't had an opportunity to start watching them as yet. I know Tucker, he can shoot the basketball. I think they're playing him at the four position right now. But his ability to stretch the floor and to make plays, I think that is different from last year. They're still a good quality team. They still are very well coached, and I'm sure my guys will be looking forward to coming up to Indianapolis to play against them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Kevin McNamara from Providence Journal.
Hi, Patrick. Two questions. Like several other teams in the league, you do have some young players, but as you said, you have them at the guard position, which is probably the most important position. Where do you think they are, both James and Mac? And how is your team different? A different question. How is your team different, you think, than last year?
We're still evolving. I think they're still learning. They're still learning, the difference, like I said in my statement, between high school and college. They think they can do a lot of the same things that they did in high school, come down and shoot the ball over bigger opponents, and they're learning that that's not the case, or making the right decisions. Those are the things that they're still learning. They're turning the ball over at a high clip, and that's something that we have to adjust, especially going into Big East play. What was the other half of the question?
How are we different?
Well, we're different because our guards can score. We have two guys at the guard position that can put up big numbers, and that was the difference between last year. Last year we were primarily an inside team, and this year we are inside and outside team. We can do both.
Great. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Tom Davis, TinSports.com.
Hey, Coach. Mac has had some games where he shot the ball well, but if you look at his three-point percentage for the year, it's not strong. Is he shooting the ball well in practice, and is he a confident shooter despite having a little bit of struggles this year?
He's a confident player, period. He believes that every shot that he takes is going to go in, and he works on his shot. He works on his game enough for me to believe that when he shoots, this is going to go in also. He not only can shoot, but his greatest strength is getting to the basket and making plays for himself and making plays for others. and using his athleticism. That's one, you know, that's his biggest strength.
Okay, and with James, he turned the ball over quite a bit early on, and you talked about that a second ago, but he has improved greatly in that regard in a lot of games through December. How do you kind of coach that through the season? Is it just a lot of film work with him and a lot of work in practice? How do you handle that?
I continue to talk to him. Continue to talking to him about making the right plays, watching film with them, making sure that they see the mistakes and the good plays that they make. And, you know, just trying to teach them and, like, try to educate them about the difference between high school and college. Every level that you go to, the things that you did great at that level, you have to, you know, and some of those things you're not going to be able to do, so you have to learn to adjust.
All right. Thanks for your time, Coach.
My pleasure.
Take our next question from John Panza from Big East Digital Network.
How you doing,
Coach?
John?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
What are you looking for from Jesse as conference play inches closer here? Because obviously he's at the top of everybody's scout.
Right.
What are you looking for from him here going forward? Because your freshmen have made strides, but obviously he's a guy that, you know, can be one of the best in the Big East.
Yeah, he started out strong, had two subpar performances, but I expect great things out of him. He's a senior. I mean, I expect him to play as a senior. I need him to score, rebound, and defend. Those are the things that we need desperately out of him if we're going to be any good in the Big East.
Okay, John. All right, John, thank you. Coach, we're ready to move on. Thank you for your time, as always. Hope you had a good holiday, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. And, again, that's Georgetown, and they are 9-3. They are playing Howard on Saturday, and then they jump into league play at Butler. Next up, we have Xavier and Coach Travis Steele. The Musketeers so far are 8-5. And we have Coach on the line now. Coach, happy holidays. We appreciate you joining us on the teleconference. If you could maybe just give us some general thoughts of your team's play going into the league competition, and you start out at DePaul on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, first off, happy holidays to everyone. You know, I think you know, we obviously have a lot of new faces, new guys, and new roles and on our team. And you know, I think the non-conference, you know, we tried to schedule very aggressively, you know, playing out in Maui and then obviously playing on the road against Cincinnati and on the road against Missouri, you know, to help prepare us obviously for the Big East, which again is the premier league in the entire country. But I think we're getting better. I really do. You know, I think guys like Quentin Gooden are starting to figure out, you know, how to play within their role. You know, because obviously Quentin played a lot of games last year, started every game for us last year as a sophomore, but he's being asked to do a lot different, a lot more this year than he did last year. So, you know, it's kind of been a work in progress. I think our defense is getting a lot better. You know, we're really excited, obviously, for the opportunity to go up to DePaul here on the 29th and start the Big East play.
Questions for Coach Travis Steele, hit *1 on your telephone. The operator will introduce you.
Take our first question from Shannon Russell with The Athletic.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Shannon. How you doing?
I'm well. You know, you played your last game without Najee Marshall and Tyreek Jones for injuries. Now that you've come back to practice, do you have an update on them?
Yes. You know, Najee practiced last night. He looked good. Obviously, you know, his back's just kind of a little bit day-to-day, Shannon. You know, it's been bothering him, obviously, for over a year. You know, it bothered him last year as well. It just kind of acts up at random times. But for right now, we obviously are planning for him to play against DePaul. Tyreek was not cleared yet by the doctors. You know, he is obviously seeing the doctors today, so he can hopefully be able to play against DePaul. But he did not practice last night.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from John Fanta from Big East Digital Network.
Happy holidays, Coach.
Happy holidays to you, John.
Looking at your team, you talked about that you see the improvement defensively. What needs to happen offensively for this group to evolve?
You know, I think number one, you know, is ball security. You know, decision-making, especially with Paul Scruggs and Najee Marshall, I think that could really take our team to the next level on the offensive end. You know, I think, you know, per KenPom, I think we're 250th in the country in taking care of the ball right now. And that has to change. You know, it's like I told our guys, you know, I believe in us offensively. I think we have enough around the rim. You know, obviously we're 11th in the country, you know, in 2-point field goal percentage. And we rely on getting to the rim a lot, no matter if we're playing against teams that zone us or man us. But we have to improve our decision making, especially with Najee and Paul, for how much those two guys are playing. So we're watching a lot of film with those guys and talking, you know, obviously emphasizing ball security every single day and every drill that we do.
You've been through this league, you know, as an assistant now, but now as the head coach of this conference, or head coach of the Xavier team. Now, I know you said in the preseason you're going to approach things in a different way that maybe other Xavier coaches have. You're going to put your own stamp on this program. How does Travis Steele approach his first go-around in this league, which appears to be wide open?
You know, number one, like I said earlier, you know, it's the premier, you know, conference in the entire country, man. There's great coaches. There's great players. You know, every game is hard. Every game's going to present different challenges. What you have to do to take away from that other opponent, like, you know, but we have to be who we are as well. And, you know, it's like I told our guys, you know, for us to have a chance to be very competitive in this league, you know, we have to be able to focus on the things that we can control. And that's not necessarily shot making, you know, shots. Certain games are going to be, you're going to be on or off. It to me is going to be about toughness, about hustle plays. And it's about making it a possession game. You know, we have to get more field goal attempts than our opponents by, we got to win the rebounding war, and we have to take care of the ball.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the call. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Again, that's Xavier, and they open up league play on Saturday at DePaul. That's a 2 p.m. Eastern start on FS1. Now we're moving on to Villanova and Coach Jay Wright. And the Wildcats now 9-4. Their last game was a win against UConn last Saturday in the Garden. They open up league play on Jan 2. That's on Wednesday against DePaul. We have Coach Jay Wright on the line. Jay, thanks for joining us on the call. Happy holidays to you. If you could maybe give us some thoughts on your team's progress through the non-conference slate and then what you think about going into Big East play.
Thank you. Happy holidays to everyone. You know, we are what we are. We're a work in progress, and I thought we grew during the non-conference schedule. We still have a lot of work to do, but I think if we look at where we started, our first game is Morgan State, and where we are now, I think we've grown a lot. Now, just going to be a test going into the Big East. How much can we continue to grow, and you know, how we handle conference play? A lot of much like Travis said, you know, a lot of guys in the program for the first time, a lot of guys in roles, significant roles for the first time. So everything we do this year, besides, you know, Phil and Phil Booth and Eric Pascoe, everything we do this year is going to be a first for everybody, and that's really what our season is going to be. How we handle that.
Questions for Coach Jay Wright. It's *1 on the telephone. The operator will introduce you.
First question from Adam Zagoria from SNY.
Hey, Jay. Happy holidays, buddy.
Hey, buddy. You too.
I'm going to try to sneak in two questions here if I can. One, is there any update on Colin Gillespie and, you know, what that might mean for Javon's playing time going forward? And two, can you just kind of talk about St. John's has 8 transfers. How does that make them tougher and kind of more mature as an opponent with so many transfers?
Yeah, Colin's cleared to go. He's good. So he was able to go through the concussion protocol after UConn and come in and get workouts in with our trainer and assistant coaches. So he's good to go. It was a real precautionary thing. So it was very, very mild, but that's the way we do it now. St. John's, I think, you know, initially having transfers was tough, you know, getting a lot of new guys into the program that you've got to assimilate. But I think now that the guys have been there, it's an advantage because you've got older guys that have actually come into the program, have played college basketball before. Chris is doing a good job of getting everybody on the same page. And now you've got veteran college basketball players who have had success together starting conference play. Very important. I think, you know, just a really well done job on Chris's part of being patient, but also of getting these guys ready in the non-conference season.
Thanks, buddy. Good luck.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from David Woods, Indianapolis Star.
Yes, good afternoon, Coach. And I apologize if this sounds like an impossible question, but given the, it seems like how compressed the league is going to be, could you see, you know, first place team having as many as 5 or 6 league losses? I mean, you were a number one seed in the NCAA tournament last year and lost 4 times.
Yeah, exactly. And didn't win the, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, I haven't really been asked about a lot, but we didn't win the conference last year. You know, and going through the NCAA tournament, you know, we had a really good team, but it wasn't good enough to win the regular season in the Big East. So that's how good our conference was last year. That's how good it is this year. And I definitely think that this season there's just more balance than there's ever been, but still teams that when it breaks out at the end, I think there'll be a number of teams in our conference that will be able to make a run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Joe Giuliano from Philadelphia Inquirer.
Hi, Jay. Happy holidays.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Joe.
Thank you, man. Hey, you mentioned the balance in the league this year. Do you have a fear, though, going in that with all the seeming parity there is, that teams will just keep knocking each other out and perhaps reducing your haul to the NCAA tournament, so to speak?
Yeah, that's always a concern when you have a really balanced conference. You know, I think we've done a pretty good job, and I haven't looked at the numbers, maybe you have, but I think we've done a pretty good job non-conference. I don't think we have, as a conference, a lot of the high-level non-conference wins, but I usually look at it, you know, before we start. You know, we don't start till January 2nd, but just to see where our conference is rated. Have you looked at that yet?
No, not really. I will be, though, before
yeah.
Your first game.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, you look at the end of every non-conference season before you start conference play. I do think, you know, the way we fared, you know, Providence, I'm just thinking Providence at Texas and Marquette with Kansas State and Marquette with Wisconsin and us with Florida State. And I know there's some other ones. I think we fared pretty well, not maybe as well as we have in the past, but I don't think the non-conference scheduling will hurt us, but the parity could hurt us a little bit.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Jay.
Thanks, buddy.
Moving on, we'll take our next question from Kevin McNamara from Providence Journal.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. How are you, buddy?
To give you a news flash, two teams in the top 25 on the NCAA net, and eight in the top 80. So that's what you got so far.
Yeah, that's not my question.
It's fine.
I appreciate that.
You guys were so good in the last couple of years, you always seem to have a top five team. But, you know,
yeah.
We won't hold that against you, Jay.
I'm glad you're not.
Tell me, for someone who's such a good shooter as Cole to be shooting whatever he is from three and field goals, how do you build his – and he's a kid with, you know, unending confidence. How do you deal with his progression? Because, you know, we both know how good of a shooter he is.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think he is really concentrated on the other parts of his game, his defense, his rebounding, learning how to play at this speed. It's interesting. I don't even know what the numbers are. I know they're not good. I even know that he's shooting 50% from the foul line. But he's such a great shooter that I'm not worried about that at all. And I talk to him about that a lot. That's the last thing I worry about with him, because no one works harder at it than him at his shooting. No one is a more confident shooter than him. So I'm actually proud that he's really concentrated on the other aspects of his game.
Gotcha. Thank you, Jay.
You got it, buddy.
We'll take one final question for Coach Jay Wright.
That'll come from John Fanta from Big East Digital Network.
Happy holidays, Jay.
You too, John.
If you look at the UConn win, what's something or a couple things that you bottle up from that win that you saw, particularly in the second half, that you take with you into the Big East?
You know what? It always happens in sports. You know, you lose a guy like Colin Gillespie, and it gives a guy like Javon Quinley an opportunity. It gives Phil Booth an opportunity to play the point a lot more. It gives other guys, you know, an opportunity to grow. So I think most important for us was getting Javon Quinley some good, valuable minutes in a high-level game, and, you know, you can work all you want in practice, but you got to do it on the big stage, and none bigger than the Garden, and also getting Phil Booth at the point guard position, which enables us to play big when we need to play big with him at the point, and obviously if we need to play small. Joe Cremo also, I thought, great game for Joe Cremo. You know, he's been struggling with the fracture on a facial bone, and wearing a mask, and just a really good opportunity for him to get like 30 minutes in a game. So I'd say mostly, John, just getting our depth and opportunity to gain confidence.
Thanks, Jay.
You got it, buddy.
Jay, we appreciate your time. Hope you had a good Christmas, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, John. Happy holidays, buddy.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the call today. We are back in 2 weeks on Thursday, January 10th, same time, same schedule. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
And again, that will conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.